Welcome to the ProWrestling.net podcast. I'm Jason Powell. My pleasure to be joined today by TNA star Rock Star Spud, and he is here to promote the big move. TNA is moving on Destination America to Wednesday nights, beginning this Wednesday at 8 p.m. Central. And Spud, I want to start there. Do you see this move as a positive in terms of it being a better night, or does the concern that audiences don't always follow television shows when they change nights, does that kind of outweigh this being a better night at all?
I think it's a great move for us, considering, you know, a lot of people go out on a Friday night, and, like, I mean, we had a great audience on a Friday night, you know, considering the night we're on. But Wednesday, I think, Wednesday's now become pro wrestling night in the United States of America, it seems. So, you know, I think the only way is up. I think we're going to grow our audience. I think we're going to grow the pro wrestling audience. And it's a fun time to be a fan in the industry. I really can't wait for our show to air tomorrow. And it's hump day. We're all over the hump.
There you go.
You know, I only found out what hump day was since moving to America. So we're over the hump. It's that halfway mark in the working week. So enjoy yourself some pro wrestling halfway through, guys.
Yeah, I mean, there are 5 hours now of pro wrestling programming, not including replays that'll air on Wednesday nights from the various companies.
5 hours? Five hours? If I was a kid, I would be loving my life right now. I could be watching one of these a day. You know, you've got DVR now. Back in the day, I had VHS, I had to record them. Now you can watch probably an hour every day of wrestling. That's the best.
Yeah, and I grew up with that, you know, watching late 80s, I guess. I mean, there was just blocks. Saturday Night Ringside was a thing in my area, and that was in addition to all the other programming that was already on. I mean, it's just crazy, and we're seeing that. I mean, Ring of Honor shocked everyone by announcing that they would be joining Impact on Destination America as the lead-in. And, you know, I first read it in an email and thought someone was, like, pointing out that I made a typo. I'm like, oh, God, what did I write now? And so I guess I'm curious. That was my first reaction, was, okay, I must have screwed up. What was your reaction when you heard the news that ROH is going to be TNA's lead-in?
Shocked at first, yes. Not going to deny it. But then when you take a step back and look at all the positives of it, you know, it's a case of, their audience are going to carry on watching wrestling to watch ours. Our audience that knows when we're on are going to watch theirs before. And you have 3 hours of wrestling. 3 hours of wrestling. It's, as Destination America have put it, it's a 1-2 punch. And you're going to see two different products, and you're going to see the best wrestlers in the world in the space of 3 hours. You know what I mean? It's a win-win. It's a win-win.
And are you hoping for crossover between the two shows, or do you think it's just best that they exist in their own universe?
I really don't know. I haven't thought that far into it, to be honest. It's, you know, never say never, as they say, because, you know, I mean, think about that. Think about the potential of that. It excites people, and, you know, that's good for the industry. So never say never, but I don't know. I really couldn't tell you what's going to happen tomorrow. I couldn't tell you what's going to happen the week after. This is professional wrestling, and anything can happen, mate.
Now, your character has a big decision to make on Impact when it moves to its new Wednesday night time slot, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern, Destination America. The dilemma is whether to cash in the X Division title that you just won for a second time for a shot at the TNA title at Destination X. Now, winning the X title is awesome, and congratulations, but I know there's that no-limit slogan, but how important is it to you, as a guy of smaller stature, to win a recognized world title at some point in your career?
It's the dream. It's the reason I got in this business. It's the reason I'm still in it today. I want to be a world heavyweight champion. And when everyone goes, for a smaller guy, yeah, because I'm a smaller guy, because when you look at me, you don't, You judge the book by its cover. You don't look any further than this really tiny little book that you see in front of you. But if you open the pages, there's a lot more to me than just height. You know what I mean? And being the small guy, there's a lot more to me than that. And that's what I was fighting for years, to just try and get people to notice that. And thankfully, TNA did, and gave me the platform to be more than that, you know? I remember growing up in England as an independent wrestler, and you'd have AJ Styles, Christopher Daniels, Joe, Aries, Amazing Red, Jerry Lynn, all these guys come over, and they had this shiny belt with them, and it had a big red X on it, and it was the X Division title. And to me, it felt attainable because they were on the same show as me, so I could get there. I could get there, and I wanted to get there. And I say this, I never shy away from the fact that all these great gentlemen don't work for TNA no more. I'm not going to shy away from the belt's history. I'm not going to shy away from the belt's lineage, and I'm not going to shy away from how it made the wrestling fans feel. They loved that championship. They loved and took pride in the X Division. And those wrestlers took pride in the X Division as well, in building it and building the company around the X Division. So I'm not going to shy away from that. And it was something I fought for many years, and now I've got to have a choice of, you can hand all that over. Everything you've worked for, everything that you saw as your goal, you reached it. Now you can hand all that over, and now there's a new goal. And this might be, for me, one in a million, because when am I going to get a chance to wrestle for the World Heavyweight title? Someone like me, someone out of the ordinary, when am I going to get the chance to wrestle for a World Heavyweight Championship? Especially the greatest wrestler that has ever stepped foot in a wrestling ring, Kurt Angle. Olympic gold medalist, 13-time former world champion, current World Heavyweight Champion. When am I going to get that opportunity again? So it's a lot of, tension in my brain at the moment of, should I do this? Should I do that? Option C. Keep it up. What should I do? I don't know. You're going to find out my answer Wednesday on Destination America at 9, 8 Central, because they're going to put me on the spot. And, that's where my decision is going to be.
Now, backing up, you know, obviously the size factor. When you started looking into pro wrestling training, did trainers attempt to discourage you because of your size, or was the cruiserweight style well established enough by then that it just really wasn't an issue? They just welcomed you with open arms.
They welcomed my money with open arms.
Sure.
Yeah, of course. So, if this kid doesn't do anything, doesn't matter. I'll take his money every week. You know, that's what it was. I mean, it's a business. You know, they're making money. Can't blame him. Let this kid dream. Let this kid pay me for his dream. If he makes it, good for him. If not, oh well, I got some money. It was hard. Because, hey, Mark, trying to tell your mom and dad, well, you should work in a bank, son. You should do this, do that. Mom, dad, I don't want this. I want to be a wrestler. Go back to the bank, son. All right. And you know, I felt discouraged by friends, family and stuff. But, like, for some reason, like, there was multiple times I could have gone traveling with my friends and moved abroad with my close friends to, like, New Zealand and Australia. And I didn't, because for some reason I said, lads, I'm going to stay, because for some reason, I don't know why, but I feel I have to. And I don't know why I do this. I just know I have to. And I don't think there's any better reason to be a pro wrestler. I don't know why I do this. I just know I was put on this planet to do it. Regardless of my height, regardless of my size, regardless of anything. This is what I've always wanted to be. It's what I've always wanted to do. And you know what? Anybody that says no, well, kiss my ass. I'm doing it, and I'm not going to stop. And I want to be the World Heavyweight Champion. So I'm conflicted right now. it's a conflicting time in my life, because not many people get this opportunity to even be with a company like TNA, let alone be in the situation I'm in now. So it's a blessing, really.
And did you feel any pressure, just, you know, in the sense that you had to be better at everything because of your size, where, you know, you don't walk through an airport and someone just automatically looks at you because of your size? They may look at you for other reasons, but it's not because you're a muscle-bound guy. And so going into this, did you have the mindset that, hey, if I'm going to make this work, I need to just excel in every area of the game?
I went in with, okay, if this is what I am, let's not hide from it. Let's not pretend I'm a big muscle man. Let's not pretend I'm, you know, 7 feet tall. Let's just accept the fact. This is who I am. This is what I am. So let's turn this into a positive. And that's what I did. I wrestled as the plucky underdog babyface. I wrestled as the annoying short man syndrome rock star. I wrestled as the annoying British butler chief of staff. I didn't shy away from who I was, and I never will. And right now what you're seeing with Rockstar Spud on your television screen since we've been on Destination America since January, we've literally seen the closest to James Michael Curtin you're ever going to see on a television screen. Because the emotions I'm going through, we've all been through. The situations I've been through, we've all been through. You know, whether it's falling out with a friend, having to fight for your life, standing up to bullies, just having a tough decision to make that's going to impact your life. We've all been there. We've all been there. And when the odds are stacked against you, we've all been there. So that's where the connection comes in. And that's all I hope to achieve is that connection with the audience, that they believe in me. And that I'm with Spud thing, they're with me the whole time. And they'll, you know, I want them to keep with me on this journey because it started with British Boot Camp and it's still going. And I hope one day it leads to being the World Heavyweight Champion. I really do. And I'm going to make damn sure and work my damn hardest that it gets to that, because that's all I've ever wanted to ever be, is to be recognized as the best in the industry. But at the same time, how much I care about the Exhibition Championship as well. If I had any hair left since Ethan Carter III got his hands on me, I'd be pulling it out right now. So I've got a few strands I can grab out, but, you know, it's a tough experience at the moment for me.
Hey, at least yours grows back.
Yeah, you know, yeah, some guys aren't so lucky.
I'm one of them, yeah.
You're one of them, poor Tommy Dreamer, yeah, if you listen to this, yeah. He's like...
Ouch. You know, I've been really just blown away by your mic work going back to when you started as the chief of staff character. Did the gift of gab come naturally to you? I mean, maybe not just knowing. I mean, you obviously have to work to learn the intricacies of a promo and all of that. But, I mean, did you always just have that gift of gab even as a kid?
I was a gobby little short man syndrome guy, definitely. But This is what I do, and I still do it to this day. If I'm in a car on my own, I'm talking. What you guys would call cutting a promo. If I'm in front of my bathroom mirror, I'm cutting a promo, and I'm looking at myself to see how my eyebrows are positioned, how my forehead frown is positioned, how my eyes are positioned, how my body language is positioned. That's how you learn, and that's how I go about talking. It really is. It's how I go about talking. I just try and project emotion with every bit of my body that I can. And it's not a big body, boys and girls. It's not a big body, but what body I have, I'm going to project every piece of emotion I can with it. And and I want to draw you in. And that's what used to get me as a wrestling fan, because I used to be like everybody else who was a wrestling fan. And those little things that got me in the heart, that drew me in, that when I looked at a Dusty Rhodes and he talked about hard times, it drew me in. When you'd hear Ric Flair talk about being the greatest of all time, it drew me in. When I saw Tommy Dreamer talking about Raven and I looked in his eyes and he believed every word, it drew me in. Steve Austin talking about WCW, it drew me in. All those things. And that's the things I'd... you know, really, really concentrate on when I'm on my own. And I honestly believe that you never stop learning and you never stop trying to better yourself, because if you do, that's the time you should probably stop.
You're known for your mic work, but I think another huge intangible is your ability to sell, and particularly through your facials. I guess, again, how natural did that come to you, and who inspired that? I mean, are you a guy who sits down and watches either WWE Network or tapes and just learns from the greats? How did that ability come to you?
I watch everything, but this ability came from my trainer back in England, Barry Sherrill-Ambus, who was a editor for a promotion called the FWA. It was a bubbling indie fed in the UK when there wasn't other indie feds around, and they were the first company that ever got any sort of recognition in the UK, doing cross promotion with Ring of Honor back in 2002 and stuff. He taught me and said, look, you're not going to get over doing moves. Your sympathy, as a babyface, it's sympathy. And, I love that people get drawn in by that emotion, because that's what drew me in as a child watching wrestling, whether it was Bret Hart, whether it was Shawn Michaels, whether it was Hulk Hogan. I just believed in these white meat baby faces and always did, whether it was, and even in movies, whether it was Daniel LaRusso in The Karate Kid, whether it was Scott from Teen Wolf, whether it was Rocky in Rocky IV. It was just all these white meat baby faces that are just good dudes and they're just getting their ass kicked.
and you're just waiting for that moment where they go, no more, pal, and just start fighting back and fighting back and fighting back, and that's what got me. And I believed I was one, and I believed I was like them. And a lot of the times when you see me in pain on the show, I'm really in pain.
Well, that's not good.
There's no going about it. Pro wrestling's a hard business, and you know, guys of equal size can throw each other around, and that's cool. But when there's a guy a lot bigger than me throwing me around, then it hurts 10 times more. But you know, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. Well, the smaller they are, the further they go, and the harder they land. So, you know, but I love it. I love it every day, and I don't know why I do this. I just know I have to, and that's my reasons for it. I'm standing by it because it's the best business in the world. It's been so good to me. It's just, you know, I'm very fortunate to be with a company like Impact Wrestling as well. And I really believe we've got the best pro wrestling show in the world. And I really implore everybody listening, please tune into our show on Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central on Destination America, because we really do have the best roster and the most hardworking roster. And from top to bottom, from the guys that have, you know, been here a few years, to the guys like James Storm, Austin Aries, Bobby Roode, Eric Young, Magnus, Abyss, these guys that have been at TNA for absolutely ever, and they're still there and they're still kicking ass. So, you know, just please tune into our show. I can't implore you anymore, because we have the old school of good guys versus bad guys, and cheer the guys you like and hate the ones you don't. You know, it's just perfect pro wrestling.
Being a UK guy, and with so many questions about TNA always popping up, do you believe that if push came to shove, could TNA survive if it just shifted its focus to being a UK-based promotion?
I don't think so. I don't think anyone's on the offer in England for a full-time promotion at the moment. If an offer came around, that'd be very silly to ignore TNA Impact Wrestling because of the great relationship we have with Challenge and the great, you know, shows we produce over there when we're there. I don't see it for the foreseeable future, but, you know, I've always believed that we should do more shows in the UK, which would be beneficial to, one, our fans, and two, you know, for our shows as well. You know, smaller venues, packed out houses, just to get the fans to see us more than once a year, you know. But, you know, I don't see us moving there, if that makes sense, because it's the good old USA, brother, and we've got this is our home base, so we produce our shows here, and we produce great shows here. So going forward, who knows? I mean, never say no in pro wrestling, but I don't see it for the foreseeable future now.
How much freedom do you have as a performer in TNA, whether it's your promos, backstage segments you're involved in? I mean, is that something you are actively involved in, or are you just kind of given a script and you go along with whatever?
You are given the ability at TNA to be your own character. I have the freedom to express. Nobody knows my character but me. Nobody knows Austin Aries but Austin Aries. Nobody knows Bobby Roode but Bobby Roode. No one knows EC3 like EC3. No one knows Kurt Angle like Kurt Angle. You can't tell people how to be themselves. If you give them a guideline and say, this is what we want, and then they go in there and do it themselves, perfect. That's the freedom we have here, and that's what's such a blessing with the writers here. They don't expect you to say this word for word. If you mess up a word, you've got heat. You know what I mean? It's just, you know, they expect a certain level of performance, but they also expect a certain level of respect in regards to, like, this is what we want. And that's awesome that we've got that freedom, because we're given free rein to be ourselves, and that's why there's such a connection with our wrestlers and our fans. It's just, that's a blessing in itself, just being given that opportunity to just go out there and do your thing, you know.
My apologies for my dog chiming. I don't know if you heard that in the background.
Oh, I didn't hear it. No.
Oh, good. Okay. With that freedom, I mean, is that a concern if you were to ultimately end up with another company? I mean, is that kind of addictive in the sense that you get to be such a big part of the creative experience where maybe if you went elsewhere, that wouldn't happen?
I wouldn't say it's addictive because, we've all been working for different employers all our lives, and when you switch jobs, there's a different way things are done here and there's a different way things are done there. When I moved from the United Kingdom and moved to OVW, I made a lot of mistakes at the beginning where they're like, well, pal, it's not the United Kingdom no more and things aren't done this way here. Okay, cool. So you have to adapt. You have to take on board all the criticisms, all the negatives, and you have to get, you have to do what the ship's captain wants, if that makes sense.
It does.
Yeah.
Speaking of the ship's captain, in this case, Dixie Carter, she was on Steve Austin's podcast, and, you know, it's not just to point the finger at Dixie, but it seems like she or someone else in the company, there's always talk of getting the X Division back on track. And not that it's in a horrible place right now, by any means, but what is the key? I mean, what is your vision for the X Division? Whether you're part of it or not, what would you like to see from the X Division?
I firmly believe that the future of the X Division is someone like Mark Andrews. I really do. He has the ability to connect with the audience, and he also has the athletic ability that the fans crave in regards to, you know, what they did back in the day with an AJ, a Joe, a Daniels. He has that connection. He has that ability. So going forward, I'd like to see more done with Mark. It's just, it's chemistry. You have to find chemistry. If people are wondering, oh, it's not like it used to be, because, again, pro wrestling does evolve and performers evolve. And once, obviously, if you're a Daniels, Joe, and AJ, and one week you fight for the World Heavyweight Championship, and then you're back in the X Division, you're not progressing as a performer then, as they were, and they had to move on. So I hope to God that Mark is given the reign to wrestle like he used to on the independents, and given the opportunity to wrestle, because he's a phenomenal, phenomenal little guy, and he's only 22 years old, has all the talent in the world, and I just really hope that once he gets that opportunity to shine, then he can be the one that brings the X Division back to where it needs to be, I believe.
Well, what's your take on all the multi-person matches? Because that's the thing I remember from the early days was that, yeah, you would have your triple threats, and there were some very good ones, but it wasn't the six ways and the eight ways. It was more of a singles-driven division, and sometimes it strays from that. Do you have a preference?
I prefer singles matches, and here's my preference with me personally. I'm not, and Kurt Angle said this about me in an interview recently, which is very complimentary, thank you, Kurt, but it was like, I'm not an X Division wrestler as such in regards to, you know, the situation I'm in finds me in the X Division as a character, but I'm a fighting, scrappy, you know, underdog, and I much prefer having one-on-one longer matches and being able to tell a story and paint this picture. I'm not going to be the most athletic. I'm not going to be the most, aerodynamic guy that there's ever going to be in the X Division or to hold the X Division championship. But I'm a fighter, and I'll do whatever I can to make the audience care about what's going on with the X Division. So, you know, if I've been given that honor of holding the X Division championship, that's sure what I'm going to do.
And TNA talent is, you guys are getting the more freedom when it comes to working independently. I mean, you've always had that luxury, but now it seems like you can do iPay-per-views for most companies, things of that nature. Maybe I've missed it, but I just don't see your name listed for many indie shows. Are you taking bookings? And if you are, where can promoters reach you?
They can reach me anywhere, really. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. I'm on, I'm on Twitter at RockstarSupport. It's just ask me. You know, maybe my past puts people off, I don't know. But it's just a case of, I don't really throw myself out there to, you know, to get independent bookings. Maybe I should, really. But it's a case of, like, if you want to use me on your show, man, and you think that much of me, then great, I'll happily do it. I'd love to. It's just a case of, I really haven't promoted, how do they call it, whoring myself out there, if you know what I mean. Like, I'm available, hello. But, like, if you want to contact me, please do. I'd be more than happy to talk, and, I just want to spread the great word of Impact Wrestling, pro wrestling in general, and Rockstar Sport, because, like, you know, I want to keep meeting these great people that I've had the
the privilege of meeting in this business, meeting new promoters, meeting new fans, you know, expanding myself to these people. It's just, you know, this business has been really good to me, and you know, I want to give back to that too.
Now, I know you're supposed to make your big decision tomorrow night, Wednesday, on Destination America, 8 p.m. Central, the big move of TNA Impact Wrestling, 9 p.m. Eastern. Do you cash in the X Division title for that TNA title shot? I know you're supposed to wait, but as you've talked yourself through this interview, you sure you just don't want to make the announcement here?
No, I don't know still. I mean, I put up a YouTube video earlier today, and I still don't know what I'm going to do, mate. So it's a case of I'm literally going to be... I'm going to be in the middle of the ring, and I don't know who's going to be the one that, you know, sticks the microphone in my face and says, this is what you're going to do. I hope it's Jeremy Borash. I really do, because he's been with me from day one since being in this company. Bless him. He's a lifelong friend of mine, and, you know, have a moment like that with, you know, with him, that'd be awesome. But, yeah, just, I don't know what I'm going to do. I know that, you know, without, you know, the risk, there's no reward, but, mate, I've asked a lot of people on Twitter what I should do, and a lot of people are saying keep safe, or there's a lot of gamblers out there that obviously go to the crap tables in Vegas. So it's just find out tomorrow on Destination America, Wednesday night, every week now. We're on a Wednesday, 9-8 Central, and show your impact. Let me know what you think. What should I do? What should I do? Hashtag show your impact and let me know what you should do. You're going to impact my decision, trust me.
Well, you can't blame a guy for trying. Hey, where can people follow you on Twitter before I let you get out of here?
You can follow me on Twitter at RockstarSpud, on Instagram at Rockstar_Spud, and on Facebook at Rockstar5PUD, because the 5's the S, but some rotter took RockstarSpud off me, and I'll find them.
Well,
yeah, you can follow me all over the place, guys. And, you know, I'm very interactive with my fans. I try my best to talk to you guys, if not favorite a couple of your tweets, just to let you know I'm reading them and I'm hearing your voice. I love hearing your voices, so, you know, Keep going and keep watching Impact Wrestling.
Well, hey, Spud, I really appreciate the time. I've enjoyed this, and I hope we can do it again down the road.
Anytime, my friend. Thank you very much.